I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm Brian Wilson alongside Larry O'Connor.
And there is always, every day, plenty to talk to Ken Cuccinelli about because he's the former Attorney General of the great Commonwealth of Virginia and also a stalwart defender and brilliant articulator of conservative principles and values. However, today, more than ever, there's plenty to talk to Ken Cuccinelli about, so we're glad we have him.
It would seem.
Hello, Mr. Attorney General. Good to have you.
Hey, Larry. Good morning.
Well, let's start with Terry McAuliffe, governor of the Commonwealth, who you would have loved to have been in his chair. As you know, you ran against him, and he won, sadly. And the Supreme Court of the state just smacked him down there for trying to, with one stroke of his pen, give voting rights to 200,000 felons. What do you make of that decision, and how can we put the genie back in the bottle now?
First of all, the decision was the right one. And not a surprising one, frankly. I mean, what Terry McAuliffe did here was attempt to ignore an 180-year-old provision of the Virginia state constitution. Part of the punishment for being a felon in Virginia is losing your civil rights. That means your voting rights, your gun rights. Naturally, Terry McAuliffe had no interest in restoring people's gun rights, but he attempted to, on a blanket basis, restore their voting rights. And in Virginia, the governor can do that on a case-by-case basis, one person at a time. And we saw in his order why. I mean, he was restoring voting rights to sex offenders who were still being treated, many, many violent criminals. And they had not gone through the process of being reviewed one at a time to see if they've really turned a leaf in their life and turn the page in their life and return to productive role citizens.
Let me ask this question then. What's to prevent him, if he can do it on a case-by-case basis, to getting him the master list of people who have been, who were on his list to restore their rights and just saying, I hereby decree as governor that each of these individuals, blah, 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 and he does it on a personal basis?
Well, Brian, I don't even think they have a list. That's just it. It is hard to track over decades and decades, every person who's ever been convicted of a felony. When you show up to apply for voting rights, your local clerk, for instance, can run the background check and can find out if, in fact, you qualify. But this is not easy to do just as a matter of logistics. Usually, people come to the governor and say, hey, I believe I deserve to have my voting rights restored, and every governor up to now, including Governor McDonnell, who frankly moved this forward faster than anybody ever has before, they set up their own process for doing that. And the best that anybody had come up with in terms of attracting more people into the process was to alert nonprofit groups out in communities and so forth and get their cooperation to help people go through this process. So the logistics of over 200,000 people are really quite daunting. If you look back to Bob McDonald's numbers, and again, he was the most prolific restorer of rights ever, I want to say they reached a point of maybe 4,000 or 5,000 max at a time. So this would be quite a logistical jump. I don't think they're prepared for it, and certainly not by Election Day, which, of course, is what Terry McAuliffe had in mind. I mean, that's what this was about.
Meanwhile, Ken Cuccinelli, we got to ask you about the events last week in Cleveland. I know that you've already jumped on cable news and talked a bit about what you witnessed firsthand, the floor fight over many of the rules that I know you helped shepherd through or attempted to shepherd through with the Republican National Committee. In light of everything that happened and, of course, Ted Cruz's speech and the fallout from that, I wonder your overall impression there of the Republican Party as it stands right now, moving forward toward the November election.
Well, as you guys noted in the news story lead-in here at the top of the hour, Trump got a bump out of the convention, according to CNN.org polling, and when you look at it as a matter of trend lines, he's in the best position he's been in. So I judge it all based on how the American people feel about it as relating to the election. And, of course, the day after our convention ended, we hear Tim Kaine's name not just floating, but actually identified as the VP choice for Hillary Clinton, which is in some ways surprising. It's the only way it isn't is we'd heard his name with President Obama because they were close friends. But look, this is a guy who really hasn't distinguished himself in the Senate. He hasn't passed anything. His voting record is a lockstep voting record with Barack Obama, and he really didn't accomplish much of significance as governor. In fact, what I remember him best for is breaking his no tax pledge in merely 6 days.
Yeah, no, we definitely wanted to get your on record about Tim Kaine, but I got to swing you back real quickly to what happened on the floor at the Republican National Convention, and most specifically after Ted Cruz's speech and the boos that we heard. I made the case that the real offense there during Ted Cruz's speech was the fact that Trump delegates, led by many of the Trump staffers, were booing. If they hadn't booed and just accepted his speech as a very good speech on behalf of conservative values, there wouldn't have been such an uproar. What did you see down there? Who led those boos? Who started all of that fracas?
Well, you know, when you're on the floor, your vision is pretty darn limited because all delegates are on the floor for your listeners. There are no delegates who are up in stands. The floor is for delegates. And so with 2,500 people plus, you know, all the staff and everything, your vision is pretty limited. So, I mean, other than hearing and sort of getting a feel for what was going on, we couldn't see anything in terms of who began what.
But you were pretty involved in some feisty fights down on the floor. At one point, you got so angry you took off your credentials and threw them on the ground when there was a discussion about rules. Do you think that was worth the fight?
Brian, there wasn't a discussion. The RNC for the second convention in a row broke its own rules and just gaveled right through us when we had requested a vote on the rules, and they wouldn't give it to us. So this is the second convention in a row that the Republican establishment has done this, and I'm not quite sure why we bother saying we're going to consider things like platform and rules when we really aren't.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit their schedule, they literally ignore their own rules. And the RNC leadership owns this completely.
We are out of time, but real fast, Senator Ted Cruz, the man you worked so hard, Ken Cuccinelli, to work through the primary process and came close this time around, he said to vote your conscience for the candidate who will best protect freedom and support the Constitution. How do you interpret that? Are you going to vote for Donald Trump, Ken Cuccinelli?
I am. I've said that since Ted Cruz got out of the race, and I think Ted Cruz was painting a picture rather than being very, very particular, because that was, you know, within a sentence where he was criticizing Hillary Clinton. So I think the outcome there was pretty obvious.
It's pretty clear.
It was ugly on the floor.
I agree with you. Why a Trump candidate, a Trump delegate, would be angry at those words actually concerns me a bit. They should have said, yeah, that's our guy. Thank you so much, Ken Cuccinelli. We got to leave it there. Always good to have you, sir.
Good to be with you all.